All right. Turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy. We'll start out in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We don't know that I have a text verse. I've got 7 different passages we're going to look at and a point to make from each one of those passages. And so we'll look at these, and I don't think it'll be a long message. My intention isn't for it to be too awful long, just some things that the Lord's kind of showed me this week. And it seems that this book has got, well, it's got the theme of Jesus. Jesus is the theme, but there's two things. There's two things that I can't get away from in this book. Not that I'm wanting to get away from them, but it seems like the only two things I ever preach are salvation and sanctification. But I'm coming to find out that's what this book is about. You either got to get saved, or if you are saved, you got to get close to God. Salvation and sanctification. Both these things are possible because of our Savior. And I love it when God shows me grace in the Old Testament. The Old Testament was where the law was founded and established. And I love it when God shows me grace in the Old Testament. And so there's some things I just want us to look to tonight. We'll just read the first verse. You can stand with me if you would. The first verse in our passages tonight is in chapter 6, verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. He says, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. So I guess I don't have a title for tonight's message either, but if we're going to do it, we'll just go with point number one. Pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. Are you listening? Pay attention. Okay, and we'll go into that a little bit here. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Lord, I'm so thankful for how good you are. God, I'm so thankful for the cross of Christ. Lord, it may seem foolish to the world, Lord, to put our faith and our trust in what it is that you've done, but God, Lord, it's so wonderful, Lord. And I thank you for it, God. And Lord, then not only is that cross the place where we can go for salvation, but God, it's where we can lay every burden that we try and carry around. Lord, every sin that besets us, Lord, every excess weight, Lord, that we try and carry, Lord, that's where they're supposed to go, to the cross. Now I pray, God, tonight as we look to your word, that you would speak as only you can. Lord, speak to your servants, Lord. I pray, God, that you just have your way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can sit down, please. Pay attention. Now, y'all remember Brother Bill Marshall? Yeah? Brother Marshall, and he got this from where he was trained to preach, I believe, from Brother Sam Davidson. Because Brother Sam Davidson does that too. Now, I don't know because usually I could at least fake the preacher out and be looking at him and be in Larryville and not be listening, okay? But Brother Marshall, he'd always say, look here, look here, look here, look here, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about, remember that? Or listen, 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 listen. He always said it 3 or 4 times. And that was him trying to make sure that what it was about to come out of his mouth was going to get caught by our ears. Because listen, let's just be honest. There's a lot of stuff that comes out of a preacher's mouth don't get caught by our ears, right? Amen? I know, it's okay. I don't take it personally. I've sat where you sat for a long time. I get it, okay? I do. But whatever we do catch, there's something very important. Very important. He didn't just say, hear, therefore, Israel. You notice he did say hear, but he said to observe to do it. To observe to do it. Kind of reminds me of James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, doesn't it? Be ye hearers of the word and not doers. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. I get it right. Okay, so observing doesn't just mean, because, you know, you can get a pair of binoculars and observe something from afar off, right? Right? But that's not what the context of this word is. It's not about looking to see something. It's about looking inside, about looking to what you're doing, looking to how you are going to do things, and making preparations to do the things that we're supposed to do. You know, serving God has to be on purpose. It does not happen by accident. Not one time in my life, I can honestly say this, and I have a horrible memory, but I know this, there's not been one time in my life where I've been able to serve God through osmosis, okay? Or with the power of positive thinking, okay? Or with just my intentions. Well, the road to, what is it, how's it going? Right, paved with good intentions, all right? Yeah. Intentions, I got a lot of intentions, right? I got a lot of things that I'd like to do. I got a lot of things that you know, or maybe I don't like to do, but I know that I need to do. I got a lot of things that I hear and know that I should do, but do I observe to do them? Have I made it on purpose? Do I, and listen, he's saying here, don't just listen, don't just hear, observe to do it. It's got to be on purpose. And listen, if we're going to serve God, it's got to be on purpose. It does. I want us to grow. And I know that y'all want us to grow. Y'all want God to use our church. I know that. But the thing is, it's not going to just happen. It's not. It's not possible. Unless God just does something miraculously, and that's entirely up to Him. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to happen if we're just going to be a Sunday morning Christian. And a Sunday night Christian, or even a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night Christian. It takes more than that. You've got to observe to do the things that God wants us to do. Amen, Pastor. We got to do, it's got to be on purpose. He says, pay attention. Now, why? Why is it so important? Well, he tells us there that it might be well with thee. Now, I don't know if that's gone over some heads or if it's hard to understand or not, but what that means is God wants us to have a good life. Y'all know that? God desires for you to have a good life. A good long life, as a matter of fact. He does. Why? Because so you can spend that good long life honoring and glorifying Him. That's what He wants. And so if we'll hear what He has to say and observe to do it and on purpose do what it is that God wants us to do, well, it'll be well with us. Now, that sounds like a good deal, doesn't it? How many in here do not want to have a good life? Well, no, we all want to have a good life, but listen, it's going to be on purpose. We've got to observe to do the things that He wants us to do. Go down to verse 10. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which He sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou filledest not. Now that's really hard for me to say, filledest. Doesn't even sound right. And when I saw that, I wanted to do spell check on my Bible. That doesn't look right. Filledest. But houses full of good that thou filledest not, and wells digged which thou diggedst not. I don't even know if I did say that right. Did I say that right? Vineyards and olive trees which thou plantedst not. I know this King James Bible is so hard to understand. What does diggedst and plantedst mean? I think we got it. When thou shalt have eaten and be full. So, this verses 10 and 11, I see three things. One, I see a place to abide. I see a place to abide. It says that when He's brought us into land to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou filledest not. Now God's talking to them about the promised land. Now y'all realize that when they went in to take over these things, there was existing structures, right? There was houses and buildings and businesses and farms and things that were already in place, already going on. There were things that had already been established, and it was all taken care of, and all they had to do was move in. That sounds like a pretty good... I got to tell you, I would love to find that kind of deal. I mean that. You know, when God allows, it'd be nice to not live as far away from the church as we do. I got spoiled back in the warehouse, 20 seconds from church. You can't beat that. Okay, the only way I could have beat that was to move right next door, but that place smelled like glue all the time. I couldn't have done that. So. But I got spoiled. It'd be nice. though, what a deal, Christy. I mean, think about this. We come out here, somebody sends us a letter, okay, and says, I've got a house for you. All you got to do is come move in. Don't even bring your clothes. Don't bring your knickknacks, okay? Your knickknacks are trash, okay? This is a really good house. It's got good stuff in it, okay? Don't bring your pots and pans. You know what? Don't even bring the food. Don't bring anything. Miss Christie, I know that you've got a sense of taste, but this is better. You need to come out here, okay? All the tools are in the house, Pastor. Everything that you need is in this house. It's even got a brand new 2015 Chevy Avalanche. Red. Fire engine red. With a really awesome sound system to make everyone shake. It's got all that. All you got to do is move in. Boy, that sounds like a really good deal, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like a good deal? I mean, come on. Who wouldn't want that deal? Right? And this is what God has given the children of Israel. Yes, they had to fight for it. They did have to fight. They had to go when God said to go. Well, we know what happened when they don't go when God said to go, right? But God had cities, houses filled with the things that they needed. Had a place to abide. Had a pool to appreciate. Look at there, it says, and wells digged that thou diggest not. Wells digged that thou diggest not. Now, I have a friend, and we're not like really close, but I know him, and actually, my dad's best friend, Doug Wells, for years and years and years, and my friend actually bought his business from him, and they dig wells. They have to go out, and they got all this equipment, and they drill down. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I used to get to go with my dad because he worked for Mr. Tookie every now and then and went out and helped him digged wells. And so they go out. They go out and have to dig wells. And this big old truck was seriously, they just add more and more to the drill the deeper they wanted to go. And it was a lot of work. It was a lot of work for them to do this. But they'd get down really deep and they'd have to, you know, plumb this thing and get it all so that the person that was paying them to come out and do it would have well water. Okay? Now, it was good for me because on a really hot day, once I got done hauling whatever it is they wanted me to haul back from one place to another to help them out, they'd fill up this 55-gallon drum with water. It was a really small swimming pool, but it was mine. Okay? It was my pool to appreciate. All right? But we see here that they've got these wells that were digged. They didn't have to. Now, Brother Brent, how much was it going to cost for you to dig another well out of your place? $3,000. Did you have it? No. That's kind of expensive. What if somebody just came to you and said, I've got this for you. We'll dig your well for free. No one offered that for you, did they? It'd be a good deal, right? I mean, you know, I talked to my friend. I had him get a hold of you, and he wasn't going to do it for free, was he? No, he wasn't. And he's a good guy, all right? But they're not going to do it free. But here they are. They're moving into this house. It's all set up for them, okay? And they've got water, good water. They didn't have to earn it. So they had a place to abide, a pool to appreciate, and they had produce to absorb. Look here, it says, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. They didn't even have to plant anything. Not that first year. They moved on in, and they've got, now, I think that I want maybe some corn instead of just olives and grapes. Nothing wrong with olives and grapes. I mean, you can do a lot with olives and grapes. And I know they had more. That's just what God put in there. But they had everything they needed. It was all there. All provided. Everything they needed. All they had to do was take it. Everything they needed to have a good life. And all they had to do was take it. That's it. Take it. God said in the previous chapters, go in. begin to contest for it. Fight for it. The victory's yours. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? Listen, I'll go knock a couple of dudes over some heads if God's already promised me the victory to take that house with the Chevy Avalanche in it. Oh, yeah. Don't stand in my way. I got a Louisville Slugger. Actually, I don't. I have the butt of a Remington. I'd go over the head with it. I wouldn't shoot you, not unless you made me. But anyways, all those things are grace. That's grace. That's grace. They didn't deserve any bit of that. They didn't deserve the promised land. They didn't deserve a house fully furnished. Come on now. I still can't wrap my mind around that. A fully furnished house. Houses are expensive enough, but they're moving into fully furnished houses. Okay? With nice clothes and stuff even. That's pretty cool. And then to have water. Good water. And they didn't have to earn it. And then, on top of that, to have all the food they needed. That's grace. That's grace. God did all the work for them. That's what grace is. God's favor, unmerited favor. God doing all the work. And so, this is what he's telling. He says, hey, pay attention. Pay attention. Do what I've asked. Do what I've asked, and I've got you the perfect place with water and with food. And he says, then look at verse 12. He says, and once you've taken that and you've got the water and you've got the food and you've got a full belly, because that's what he says. He says, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He says, okay, and I've done all this for you, and I've done all this. Now, I want you to play this over in your head again and again. I want you to remember. You know, a year from now when you get up and you've just gotten used to that house full of the clothes and the furnishings and everything you need, and you've gotten used to that, and you've gotten used to your olives and grapes, washing it down with water. You've gotten used to all that, and you start to think that maybe you want something else and maybe you need something more. Then, hey, wake up, hold on, and remember what I did for you. He says, beware. Beware, lest thou forget the Lord. Because see, it's real easy. It's real easy when things are going good to put it on cruise control, isn't it? Yeah? I like cruise control. I do. Especially when my knee starts to ache a little bit. I like cruise control. Put the old vehicle on cruise control and not have to worry about it. You know what else I like cruise control for? I got me a heavy foot. And if I know that there's a spot where I'm going to have a problem speeding, I'll put it on cruise control so I don't speed. Because I won't be paying attention. I'll look down and I won't even tell you what the speedometer says sometimes. But we'll put it on cruise control. Okay. But, you know, the problem, we sit there and put it on cruise control. Kelsey and I are on our way to school a couple weeks ago. I'm taking her to the school. And I'm over there in the fast lane. I got it on cruise control, just moving along. Just got out of all the traffic, right? There goes Keystone Avenue where I'm supposed to get off. Well, we can put it on cruise control. And I think I scared Kelsey a little bit because I did 5 lanes in about 5 feet. I got over quick. I didn't want to loop around. It's forever. So, but we can put it on cruise control and we can forget what it is we're supposed to be doing, don't we? Because that's what I did. I was in cruise mode, right? Wasn't even paying attention to where I was supposed to be going. That's what God says. He says, when you're enjoying all this because I've been good to you, then remember that I've been good to you. You didn't do any of that. You didn't do any of that. Hey, you remember, you're not going to hell. I'm not going to hell. Amen? Remember that. And I am. I've got a mansion. Not a house in Greenfield. I've got a mansion over a hilltop in that bright land where I'll never grow old. I wasn't just singling you out, but I was singling you out. Glory. I get to move right in. I get to move right in. And I didn't do anything to deserve it. Well, that's grace. That's grace. So when things are going good, and God has given me my abundant Christian life, he says, beware. Beware. Let's perpetuate what it is that he's done. Keep it going. Then, go with me to chapter 7. Chapter 7. Please acknowledge this. Know therefore, in verse 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. That's a pretty good promise right there, isn't it? That's a pretty good promise. God is faithful. He keeps his promises. And he'll keep them to 1,000 generations when we'll observe, hear, observe, and beware. But he repayeth them that hate him to their face. Now, let's stop there for just a second. Let's define those who hate him. If you love me, you'll keep my. So what is hate but the opposite of love? And repayeth them that do not keep my commandments to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. You know, and this is something that we can get on cruise control. We can. Things are going good. Even when things aren't going good, we can sit there and think, well, you know, at least, you know, I'm going to heaven. But, and when someone says this, and I know I used to say it when I used to, well, I thought I was saved, but I used to tell folks, well, I'd rather be a street sweeper in heaven than you know, whatever it is in hell. I don't even remember what it is I used to say, but I'd rather just, I don't care, I'm going to heaven, and I don't care if I just got a shack over by the river, I'll take it. Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a wonderful thing, having a shack by the river and a street sweeper. I really don't. I mean, yeah, you're in heaven, you're not in hell. That's a wonderful thing. But, man, missed opportunities to serve God. Missed opportunities to serve God. Because, see, I'm going to stand before him and give an account for everything that's done in this body. Everything. Everything. The times when I love him and the times when I hate him. Now, the times when I've loved him, those are the times that I'm going to have some precious stones and gold and silver. And yes, they're going to go through that fire and they're going to get refined. And see, all that comes from the heart. It's not about what I'm doing. It's about why I'm doing it. Y'all get that, right? You can serve in this church till you're blue in the face, but you ain't building up nothing but wood, hay, and stubble if it's not for the right reason. Do you love him? Do you love him? Do you love him? Because if you don't love him, you hate him. There's no, you know, I'm kind of indifferent about God. No, no, no. You love him or you don't. And he says he will repay it. You will stand before him. One day I will be face to face with my God. One day I will be face to face with him. Well, yes, one day I will be face to face with him in glory, and that's going to be wonderful. But one day I'm going to stand and I'm going to give an account. And there's things that are going to hurt. There are things that are going to make me so ashamed. What tears do you think he's wiping away? What tears are being wiped away? The tears from the loss that I'm going to suffer because of the vanity that I've allowed in my life. And then there's also another time when everybody else is going to stand before him face to face. Everyone. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Not everyone is going to get to see that refining fire. We're going to be saved by fire. They're going to be judged by fire. But everyone's going to stand face to face with God. And God doesn't come up behind you and put something on you if you've done wrong. He does it straight to your face. Isn't that right? Where Brother Justin at? Brother Justin testified, you know when you've stepped away from God. See, Brother Currington, Steve Currington, are you called being an umbrella fella? Y'all ever, you know, everybody's got an umbrella, right? You've stood underneath it when it's raining. Why do we have an umbrella when it's raining? So we don't mess our hair up, right? Well, so we don't get wet. I don't like walking around in wet clothes. There's been a couple times in my life it's been kind of fun for a little bit, but, well, you know, Kings Island, rain, that kind of stuff. But I don't like being wet, not on purpose. So, you know, you have that umbrella to protect you. The umbrella protects you from the elements. If it's hail, the umbrella protects you from the elements. The rain, the sleet, the snow, the things that are coming down. But like Brother Justin said, you know, God's holding that umbrella, and I've got that protection. Brother Justin said, if you just step away just a little bit, what starts happening? Well, you start getting wet and start messing your hair up. You start getting wet, start getting hit with the things that you don't have to get hit with. Why? Well, you've stepped out from underneath the protection of God. When you're close to him, you're covered. When you're not, condemnation. Amen. So, and he does it to your face. So he says in verse 11, thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and statutes and judgments, which I command thee this day to do them. Now there's three things there. God says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, right? So what is a statute? Well, God has commandments. Listen, there's no debating this, okay? There's no debating this. You don't have to be convicted about this, okay? Let me just tell you, you do not have to worry about this. You are not supposed to kill. Thou shalt not kill. That's a commandment, Brother Tom. That's a commandment. You don't have to wait for God to convict you about that. You know, I was thinking about killing Brother Brent, and then God convicted me in my heart. Okay? So I'm not going to do it. Well, no, that's not a conviction. That's a commandment. But a statute, that's a conviction. And God does give us convictions. He does. Godly convictions. And what is it? A statute is something to live by. Amen? A statute is something to live by. Now, not everyone shares the same statutes, but where do we get our statutes? We're supposed to get them from right here. Right? I mean, you know, the world has somewhat of a moral compass in some places still. Okay, but can I just tell you where their moral compass came from? Right here. And so God tells us that we're to keep his commandments and to keep his statutes. Now, let me explain that. I don't have to be convicted about stealing. It's wrong. It's a commandment. I don't have to be convicted about lying. It's wrong. It's a commandment. Okay? But, there are things that I feel like God wants me to do in my life. There are things that I feel like that I am going to do because God has instructed me, this is the way I want you to do that. That's a statute. Now, for me to take that statute and say, you know what? I don't feel like doing that anymore. Well, guess what? There's condemnation to that. God will repay you to your face. You're supposed to keep those. And then there's the judgments. Now, what is that? Well, that's taking the statutes and convictions to another level. That's taking it to another. I've got commandments. Those are things that I just know. There's no debating it, okay? And now there are different folks in here, and there are quite a few different statutes, I'm sure, if we were to sit and poll everybody about how they feel about this and how they feel about that. Those are your convictions. And then there are times when we've stepped away from those convictions and God gives us a judgment. So it's not that our conviction changes so much, but our lifestyle will have to change because of the judgment. Okay? So I've been convicted of something and I've stepped away from that and God says, okay, now you're being dumb, so let's go back here. But y'all remember Jacob when he wrestled with the man all night long? Remember that? And he walked away not the same, did he? No, he walked away with a limp. And there are times where I know what I've been convicted of doing, and I've done something else. And so now, not only do I have to live by the conviction, but there's a limp. There's a scar. there's a judgment that's going on with that. Now, that's most of it. I don't have many statutes. I've got a lot of judgments because God will give me a statute. But the thing is, when God has given it to me, you know, I've never worried about it. I've never wondered whether I'm doing right or not, or whether I should stop, or if God's changed his mind. Not one time has God ever changed his mind on a conviction he's given me. He hasn't done it. Not if he's given it to me. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing that God hasn't changed his mind on that, because he doesn't change his mind. He doesn't. We do, don't we? Yeah. But we need to remember, we need to acknowledge that we will stand face to face before God and give an account. Now, go to verse 22 of chapter 7. We're supposed to pay attention. We've got a place to abide, a pool to appreciate, produce to absorb, perpetuate it again and again. And please acknowledge that we will stand before God. Now just progress as led. Look at verse 22. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. Brother Mark, when I first got saved, you know, I grew up in a Christian school and at a good Baptist church. So kind of knew most of the rules for a good independent fundamental Baptist. So you know what I did? I became super Christian overnight. I did. I started living everything right. Listen, there was a good 24 hours there where I was almost perfect. Okay? You could have asked me. Now, I did feel good about salvation. I said, but what I'm saying is, I didn't become super Christian overnight. I didn't. It didn't happen. I fell quite a few times, as a matter of fact. And because I thought, this is what it's supposed to be doing. You know what I was doing? I was living by someone else's convictions, by someone else's statutes. Well, yeah, we know the commandments, but I was living by someone else's statutes. And when I do that, I've tried to take on things that I'm not ready to take on. You understand that? Look at this. God says that he'll put out those nations before thee by little and little. Now, I know I'm going to get some rolling of the eyes here, but I'm going to quote a great movie. Yes, you know, What About Bob? Baby steps. Baby steps. Remember, baby steps to the elevator? But baby steps. I'm not supposed to become super Christian overnight. You're not supposed to become a super Christian. You're not supposed to be the great, you know, soldier of God overnight. It doesn't happen. All those victories aren't going to come all at once. He even addressed that. Not only did he say little by little, he said, thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. What he's saying is, listen, you go ahead and you try and take it all down at once, you're not going to see everything coming at you. You're not going to have all the things set in place, all the strongholds of God, all the things that are going to protect you. They're not going to be there, and there's going to be some beast. Well, there is. There's going to be some familiar, something come in, some inhabitant, and mess up what God is trying to do. So he says, little by little. I love that God does that. He doesn't expect me to give up everything that I've gotten used to and accustomed to in Egypt overnight. Now, he does expect you to give them up. But it's as he leads you. That's where we get those convictions, little by little. And God will give you victory over something. He doesn't say, okay, I want you to run to here, and I want you to jump over to here. No, just walk. Just walk after the Spirit. Just progress as he leads. And little by little, he'll turn you into what it is he wants you to be, which is like Christ. I love that. I love that God put that in there, that little by little. That blessed my soul when I read that this week. That really got, because we do, don't we? And listen, we can do that, Faith Baptist Church, I want you to listen to me. We can do that when we get someone in here and they get saved, and we can start putting stuff on them, statutes of ours on them. And we put those things on them. You know what? They're heavy burdens for them to carry around. And so now they can't fight like they're supposed to be able to fight. And they can't. They're not going to be equipped. We've tried to help them become a super Christian like us. Well, no. We just need to be a good example and let God lead them little by little to get the victories that they need to get. Because that's all God expects of you. So why expect anything else from anybody else? And we need to be careful of that. I mean that. We need to be very careful of that. And I'm not saying anyone's doing that. I don't know. It's what the Lord laid on my heart. We gotta let God. The commandments are in place, okay? Listen, honor your mother and your father, kids, okay? You don't have to wait for God to smite your heart with whether you should do what your mom and dad say, all right? You don't have to wait for God to smite your heart about whether you should be at church, okay? You don't have to be convicted about that, all right? Love the Lord thy God. Put nothing else before him. Those are commandments. Those aren't statutes. But then when God does place a statute, how to dress that would honor God? How to live a life that would honor God? Those are the statutes that God wants us to do. Listen, I can go all through life and never kill anybody and be a big jerk about it, right? But I've kept the law. I've kept commitment. No, God put statutes in place in your life, little by little, little by little. Pay attention. It's got to be on purpose. He's taking care of everything. It's all there. It's all there. He's taking care of the victory, guaranteed. Just beware. Don't put it on cruise control. Know that you're going to stand before God. We got to keep that in our mind, Faith. We got to keep that in our mind, that I'm going to stand before God. That if that really is going to be in my mind, you know what isn't going to be in my mind? Anything that's going to bring shame as I stand before him. If that's truly in my mind. And then, just progress as he leads. Take that next step. Baby step. God says, I want you to quit hanging out with this person. Baby step. God says, you know, I want you to quit wearing Nikes and only wear Adidas. I don't know that God would do that, but baby steps. I want you to quit going here. Baby steps. You know, I want you to start doing this for me. Because it's not, listen, it's not always about what we are doing. Sometimes it's what we're not doing. Okay? Now, God has taken care of all this. And I feel like we've been challenged today. I really do. And I asked this a couple weeks ago, and I don't know how many folks did it. I can't honestly say that I've asked 5 people a week. I can't honestly say that I've asked 5 people a week. Now, I try, but you know what? I would like to challenge Faith Baptist Church again. And I'm going to try and remember to challenge us again next week. Ask 5 people to come. 5 people are not going to, I'm just going to be honest with you, 5 people are not going to come every time that you ask. If one comes, that's huge. That's huge. But that's huge. Amen? So ask 5 people. You want church to grow? You want Faith Baptist Church to grow? I'm the only one, really? Come on now. You want Faith Baptist Church to grow? A little accountability here. Okay? Ask 5 people. 5 people. 5 people. And then next week, ask 5 people to come. Now, I know, other than Brother Tom and the Lions, nobody else lives out here in Greenfield. Okay? So people might have to drive for a little ways. All right? Ask them anyways. Come out here to Walmart one day a week and just ask 5 people to come to church. Take a church trip and say, hey, I'd just like to give you an invitation. Come out and check out my weird pastor and our church. Just ask 5 people. That's not much, is it? It's not even really that hard. And you'd be surprised after you do it a couple times how much easier it gets and even exciting. It really does. It kind of gets exciting, especially when someone goes, you know, I've been looking for a church. Tell me more. It gets really exciting. And you know what happens? You start to think, well, they might want to hear what God has done. And you'll start talking about God, that fellow that you love. And they're going to start going, well, there's something peculiar about this person. And that's just how it works. So accept the challenge. Now, I don't know how much of an altar call this is, but heads are bowed and eyes are closed.